Well, you may be seated. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Welcome everybody that's watching online this evening, and we give God praise for all that he's doing in our lives. Amen. So I'd like you to turn into three openings this morning and or this evening. You might be morning somewhere else. Half of the world is in the morning. But you're not in the morning. You're unless you slept all day. So let's go to Psalm 138, verse 3, and Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12, and then we're going to go to the Acts 10:31. And Psalm 38:3, reading the New Living, it says, "As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength." And the emphasis I want to place on this verse of scripture is, as soon as I pray, you answer me. Then in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, then he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. And I've come in answer to your prayer." Then we turn to Acts chapter 10 and verse 31. He told me, "Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God." I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about God answers prayers. And our topic, of course, is on prayer, prayers, or praying. And the point I'd like to get across to you tonight is that no matter who you are, you could be the psalmist, as it says here in Psalm 138, or you could be Daniel, or you could be Cornelius. God will always answer your prayer, no matter who you are. So these people that we see here in the scriptures were important people. But the scripture says that God will always answer us, no matter who we are, no matter how important we are or less important we are in our roles in life, maybe as ministers. Some people have more faith in ministers' prayer, or other people who pray more, or in leadership people. And yet so many people don't believe, even when God said he answers prayers, that they don't even believe in their own praying. And they think so little about their own prayers being effective that they have more faith in other people than their own praying. Well, God hears us no matter who we are. And that he will answer us. We need to believe what the word says about prayer. About our own prayer. And our own praying. And we shouldn't quit when things don't change immediately. Notice, as I mentioned earlier, as soon as you pray, the scripture says. Let's all say this together. As soon as I pray, God hears me. So it says in Psalm 138, verse 3, it says, "As soon as I pray, you answer me." So this is God's word to you. He's talking to you as an individual. He didn't say to the psalmist, he didn't say to, just important people. The moment you speak a word in prayer, God will answer your request. And he knows what you're going to ask because he knows everything. Matthew 6:8 says, "Be not therefore like unto them." And he's talking about people who kind of, recite their prayers to God over and over and over again. He says, "Do not be like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him." Amen. Imagine that. God already knows what you're going to ask him before you even ask. But the thing about it is that you still have to ask, because it's a faith life that we have. The angel told Daniel that God answered him the very first day he prayed. But there was opposition to his request, and it took a little longer than he actually thought. And he told him, "Don't fear." Of course, if an angel appeared to you, you'd be kind of scared. And maybe he had other fears as well. But he told him, "Don't be afraid. So he's telling you tonight, don't be afraid. If your prayer's not answered yet, don't be afraid. His prayer was being answered. There was a process going on that God was doing things for him. Daniel 10:12 says, then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel, for since the first day you begin to pray. In other words, when he started praying that day, for understanding, he wanted to understand something. He humbled himself before God, and his request, his prayer request, had been heard in heaven. He said, I've come in answer to your prayer. He said, I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to do this right now. You know, we ought to have confidence in prayer, in our own praying. And so confident prayer is based on the Word of God, not on our own thinking, not on your emotions, but on what God said. It is what you're asking in your prayer life, in your praying. Is that based on the will of God, or is it based on what you think? Or what you thought you thought, thinking, or, blah, 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 blah. Or what you feel. Sometimes you feel good, you could ask God anything because you feel good. But that's not how it goes. And here's what the Apostle John said in First John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. You've heard this many times. This is the confidence. Now, we want to be confident, right? That we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. So the confidence comes from asking according to his will. His will is the word of God. If you ask something, ask yourself, is what I'm asking in the Word? Can I find scripture for something I'm asking? Then he'll hear you. Because he asks you to ask me whatever I put on in here in the covenant. You ask me based on the covenant, and I'm going to answer you. And he doesn't have to answer you if you're asking for something outside the will of God. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or the prayer requests that we have desired him or that we ask of him. So what happens when prayers are not immediately answered, someone might say? You know, we're happy when we have quick answers to our praying. We say, woo-hoo-hoo, right on, right? We get so happy. But what about when it takes a little bit longer? What if it takes months or years or maybe even a decade or two and still no answer? You know, we get emotionally affectionate towards God, towards the Lord when our prayers get answered. We seem to love God more. We say, oh, I love God. But when he doesn't seem to answer quickly, we kind of get sour towards God. We said, man, I thought you're God here. I thought you were going to answer me right away. So we might get sour towards God when we're still in the waiting for our prayer. And listen here to the emotional expression in the psalm here, Psalm 116, verse 1. He says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayers for mercy. So we get emotional about our praying when God hears you, when the prayer request comes in really quickly. We get all emotional about God, but when it's not, oh, we just, you know, get mad at God. I know some of you never do that, but I do once in a while. And I just get mad at God. I don't know, anybody ever get mad? Yeah, you know, just get sour towards God. You know, man, you know, I'm more holier than Ken, you know. I've been in the ministry longer than him. You know, and so we say things, we do things, you know, and so we love it when our prayers are being answered quickly. And some prayers will take longer, especially when we're praying for changes inside somebody else's life, like your children or your husband or your wife or somebody at work or something else, where it takes a little bit longer. And God is merciful. He waited for a long time for you. And you haven't done those things, what he said yet. You're getting there, right? I like this here, to listen to the prophetic word here from the prophet. He said, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. Isaiah 65:24, you know, God knows things. He knows your future. He knows your past. He knows a lot of things. It just blows your mind, doesn't it? To know that, you know, these kind of things. I mean, I sometimes think about this and my Lord, I can't even think about it. It bugs me to know that God has no beginning, no end. He knows everything. Every mind in here, he knows every mind. We can't even know our own minds, and yet he knows everybody else's mind. Thank God that he does those things. The apostle Matthew said this in Matthew 6:8. Don't be like them, for your heavenly Father, or your Father knows exactly what you need. Does he know exactly what you need? Yes. He does. Even before you ask him. Just like what the prophet said, before you even say anything, he knows what you're going to ask him. So you need to ask. Make sure you're asking on the word. So we're happy when our prayers comes down like rain. Right? We're just so happy. Oh, what a wonderful time having some great showers here from heaven. But we get sour, as we say. When our prayers go seemingly unanswered. Everybody say, believe and pray. Believe. You know, believing means you stand in faith even when you don't see nothing happening about the things you prayed about. It means you believe God heard your prayers no matter about time. You believe God, he will answer your requests in his good time. And then you will know, you know, and then the Bible says, you know, sometimes we ask yourself, well, how do you know God heard you? And you ask yourself, sometimes the devil asks you that even. He said, how do you know God answered you? He didn't seem to answer you, especially if it takes a little bit longer. So everything is based on the word of God. That's how you know. You'll know by his will. What the written word says and what the plan of God says for every single person. The Bible said it's that he doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to be saved. So when you're praying for someone's salvation, you know, you're basing your prayer on that. God, the word of God, generally speaking, there's a lot of general things about the word you can pray about. It takes a little bit longer when you don't have actually a word on something. It takes a little bit of time. And you need to stay in prayer to get some revelation. You know, all things are possible, it says in the scriptures. Are all things possible, even in our prayer time? Well, Jesus said, you know, he said that himself. He said over here in Matthew 21:22, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. In other words, when you pray, you have to believe first. He didn't say everything about prayer, everything you pray about, you will receive. No, he said, everything you believe or believing in prayer, you'll receive. It's not just prayer alone. See, a lot of people say, don't just go ahead and pray for me. Don't have to read the word. Just pray for me. You know, well, it's not prayer will not work per se alone. It's prayer in the word that works. You have to ask yourself, is that guy believing the same thing I'm believing when he's praying for me? Is he based on the, is he praying on the word? And is he believing the same thing I believe in? Am I believing like as he's believing? Two shall agree on earth. Well, Jesus said, that's how it works, believing prayer. All things are possible to him that believes. So all things, the word all things is stipulated written word as written in the written word. You can approach God with confidence based on the word of God when you pray. We have mountain-moving faith, the Bible says, concerning prayer. Over in Mark 11 and 24, we have something called the mountain-moving faith in prayer as well here. So it says in Mark 11, 24, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire or whatever things you ask in prayer, believe that you receive them and you will have them. It's believing that you receive them and you will have them, or shall, the King James says, shall have them. The New King James says, you will have them. Well, shall is a designated for future. Believing is now. Believe I have them. Believe I have it when I pray, and I shall eventually have it. In other words, you have to believe in your heart. Believe with your spirit on the inside without feeling, without seeing it, which is based on the word. Your spirit is based on the word, not your senses. You can say, I believe that I'm basing my prayer on this word right here. And so that's how you straighten yourself out. That's how you know you receive your answer. So, you know, Mark 11:24, New Living says, I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you received, what do you believe about it? I believe that I received. Believe that I received what? What I'm praying about. What did you pray about? Well, that scripture there says this, so I'm praying about that, then I'm receiving that. That's what you do. Not, oh, man, I had a good feeling when he prayed for me. Or, oh, man, I just fell over under the power of God. I shook and I cried. And, oh, I believe I received. Well, how do you know that? Because I was shaking there. You saw me shaking and crying. Well, it doesn't matter how you feel. You could even feel worse after you pray, and then you still received it. I don't base my prayer on how I feel or how you feel. Amen? If you do, you're going to go down. This is not faith. You have to believe according to the word. Amen? So somewhere along the line, we do get happy eventually. Because my wife preached about hope. Because hope makes you happy. Amen? So, you have to believe the moment you prayed. Even before you see it. Why? Because I'm basing my prayer on the word. Not on how I feel. Not because he's a pastor. Not because he's a prophet. Not because he's a world-renowned, you know, man of God. I'm believing because the word says it. Can you say amen? So how can I believe that I have something when I can't see it or feel it? You know, well, then again, you're going back on how you feel about it. That's not faith. So look at over here in John chapter 20:29. Jesus said unto them, he's talking to his apostles, and John Thomas wasn't there when Jesus showed up. When the doors are closed, everything shut tightly, the windows are closed, and how could he come in? And Jesus appeared to them in this room where it was shut tight. Thomas wasn't there. I don't know why he was gone. Maybe he didn't have enough faith to stay there. I'm not sure what happened to Tom. Maybe he went for Timmy's run or something. He was not there. And so he goes off, and the Bible says that Jesus said unto Thomas, Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see it or see Jesus or touch him. And so Thomas had what we call, you know, sense, knowledge, faith. In other words, he only can believe what he saw, right? And so he had natural faith. Everybody has natural faith. But spiritual faith, you don't have to have it before you believe it. You just have to know it from the scripture. Amen? Some of you are getting it right now. Just starting to come in, shaking that head, and it took a long time to shake it. Shake yourself again, praise God, amen. It's going in there. Now, he says, Thomas, because you have seen me. Seen is a natural sense or sense knowledge. Because you have believed, blessed are they that have not seen me and yet believed. There's a lot of people, I didn't touch Jesus, but I believe in him. I didn't see Jesus on the cross. I didn't see him getting raised from the dead. I didn't see anything about it. In fact, I never saw Jesus at all. Neither have any of you. Praise God. But I know he's alive. I know because the Bible says so. Amen? So believing is not, believing is really not seeing something, you know, with your eyes. That's not when you believe. You believe when you have it in your heart already by looking at the word. So we walk by faith, not by sight, don't we? So in our prayer life, we walk by faith and not by sight. In our prayer life, you have to apply that to your prayer life, that you're believing the word even when things don't seem right. Right? I'm believing the word. So I come out of my prayer closet sometimes, tired, more tired than ever, hungrier than ever, more tired than I feel, and I still believe the word. Some say, well, you still believe? Oh, yes, I do. Well, you're tired. I don't care how tired I feel or hungry I feel. Get out of my way. So everybody says, stand in prayer. Here's over here, is Ephesians 6:18. He says, do this in prayer, the good news says. Ask for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert. Never give up. Always for God's people. So he says, never give up. This is talking about peace of the armor of God, the offensive armor of God, which is our prayer life. He's talking about in chapter 6, verse 10, over here right down to the scriptures here, verse 12. He's talking about the armor of God. And so this armor, this weaponry we have, which is prayer, is a weapon. And when we apply the word of God, you know, we have to keep doing this. Don't ever stop praying. Somebody said, in spiritually speaking, prayer is like breathing. It's essential. So prayer is essential to your life. Every day you must pray. Now, I'm not talking about, I believe everybody in this room prays. Everyone prays. If how effective we are at times is just whether, you know, depends sometimes. We are better at praying than other times. Amen? Sometimes we're just really focused. Other times we're not as focused, but we pray all the time. So the Apostle Paul said, speaking about the believers in spiritual weaponry here, he says, keep on praying and never give up. Sometimes you have to stand in faith for a long time to see your prayer requests come through. During this time, you have to be persistent. Remain strong in the word of God and do not quit. Be focused on the word and not on what you feel or what you hear. Other people saying, oh, it's getting worse. You know, you've been praying for that person. Oh, the doctor says it's getting worse. I got a call here today. A doctor telling me about my brother. You know, I'm the only guy that takes care of him. He's 65 years old. He's had lung. He took out his lung. Well, half of his lung is still there. He's had a stroke, heart attacks. He had 3 strokes, heart attack. And now they said he's got dementia. And then he said he has some other diseases. They kind of pull out all these diseases. And so I went to see him the other day, and I prayed for him. I said, you know, how are you feeling, Gary? How are you feeling? He said, I feel good. He says, I've been praying for you. He said, good, it's working. So, you know, I mean, we pray. I pray for him, and I lay hands on him and, you know, talk to him, encourage him. And the doctor said, we don't understand. He's getting better, seems here. But he has all these things, challenges. But, you know, we're keeping him here for a while. Well, God promised us 70, 80 years at least. I said, don't die with sickness. Die after you get better, then die if you want to. Amen? Thank God for that. We can believe that. You don't have to die with sickness. You can go and, you know, go to bed and say, you know, wake up in heaven. Or sit there, eat your dinner, and then after dinner says, hey, I'm here, Jesus, I'm going home. See you later. And you're gone. Praise God. That's the best way to go. Amen. Not on a car crash or falling off a plane or something. Falling out of the sky or fixing your roof or whatever. You want to die in good standing. That's the way we preach around here. Right? Don't die of starvation. I see some of you doing a good job. Helping yourself. Praise God. Amen. So anyway... So you have to be persistent. Say, I am persistent. So we have to be focused, praying always with all manner of prayer, the Bible says. Ephesians 6:18, with all perseverance. In other words, you don't stop this. Don't stop praying because you got tired. We're not asking if you're tired. Keep praying. Amen. You say, I'm tired. No, keep praying. Even in your sleep, you know. Right? What's he doing? Well, is he eating? No, he's praying. You know, sometimes I'm stopping at the stop sign and praying in the Holy Ghost, and people think I'm singing. Eh? Oh, shalabakata rabba. People looking at me there. What's he doing? We never seen anybody like that. Then I open the window. Hi, how are you? Oh, yeah. I'm singing Three Dog Night. Anyway. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, never stop praying. Look at your look at your neighbor behind you and point at them And it said, never stop praying. Amen. Point at yourself. Say, I'll never stop praying. Say, I'll never stop praying. That's what Paul said. He said, I cease not to pray for you. He's telling those Ephesians. You know, this afternoon I was praying for all of you who were here. I was praying that God will open your eyes up. Some of you guys, you're looking at me just batting your eyes. And you look wonderful. Praise God. Amen. I love you, every one of you. Praise God. Amen. So never stop praying. Good. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. I'm reading the Good News Bible because some of you are really good tonight. He says, be persistent in prayer and keep alert. And as you pray, keep giving thanks or give thanks to God. You know, after you pray, you need to keep giving thanks to God for that prayer you prayed about. Thank him for the answer. It's coming. Say, it's coming. So over here, I put this on my one of my statuses this afternoon. I was so blessed because it's Psalm 62:8. He says, trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Oh, man, he's such a wonderful God, isn't he? Thank you, Lord. So don't quit when it's hard. The Lord taught his disciples not to quit in their prayer times or in their praying. He used illustrations and stories that they could relate to about life, and he made parables clear to them. He made it easy for them to anyone to understand about what he was talking about concerning anything. Let's begin here and read from Luke chapter 18, verse 1. I'm going to read that verse in the King James Version, the rest of it in the Good News Translation after verse 2. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. The Bible, the other scripture says that they don't quit. Don't faint. Don't get weak about it. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't quit. God does not want you to quit. You know, I pray everywhere, wherever I go. I pray in my car. I pray, you know, in the mall. I pray and when I go work out and I listen to, you know, in the gym, I listen to Keith Moore or Brother Hagin. Sometimes I listen to 70s, not very long, often, or 80s. But I listen to it constantly, put it in my heart. Praise God. Amen. So the Lord taught his disciples never to quit. He said in Luke 18:1, he says that men always ought to pray. That's women too. Men means everybody. Humans. Let's keep reading here from Luke 18:2 to 9 in the Good News Translation. In a certain town, there was a judge who never feared God or respected people. And there was a widow in that same town who kept coming into him and pleading for her rights, saying, help me against my opponent. For a long time, the judge refused to act, but at last he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or respect people, yet because of all the trouble this widow is giving me, I will see to it that she gets her rights. If I don't, she will keep on coming and finally wear me out. And the Lord continued, listen to what the corrupt judge said, he said. This is what he said about the judge. This is his, comment. Verse 7. Now God will not judge in favor his own people who cry out to him day and night for help. He will not be slow to help them. He was asking the question. God is not going to be slow. When you ask God, when you're staying persistent in your prayer life, will he not answer you? That's what he's saying. God will answer you. He will talk to you. He will show you what you need to know. Glory to God. Amen? So God will always help you whenever you ask him. He will always. So keep God before yourself and his word and prayer. He will answer you. Never quit. Romans 12 and verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That means you never, never quit. Remain in that attitude of prayer. Do not keep asking for the same request over and over, but be steadfast believing what you prayed for by thanking him. And by turning your will over to him and by casting your care upon him and say, I don't have that need anymore. I prayed for that person. I prayed for my kid. I prayed for my husband. And I'm standing in faith. I asked you one time and I'm believing that you heard me last time and you keep praising God for it. That's how you do it. You don't say, Lord, I prayed for you. Please help me again. No, you say, no, Lord, I feel like crying here, but you know, that's my feelings. I know about my feelings. I know spirit, soul, and body. My body, I command my body. I command my mind to think right here. And I tell myself to stop crying. And you talk to yourself, stop crying. Right. You know, there's a time when, there's a lot of scripture like that. God says, don't cry anymore. Stop crying. He'll tell you that. Because any little whine tells you're not in faith. The more depressed you get, you're not in faith. Amen? So if you got to stay on the Word to keep strong in the Word. The more you think about how bad it's going to be and how you are going to make it, you know, if it's going to be possible. I don't care what I think about it. I don't ask myself what I think. I ask myself, is that what the Word says? If the Word says it, I side with the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Where's the doorway? I'm going to run home right now. Praise God. Amen. Remain in an attitude of prayer and keep on, and do not keep on asking over and over, but keep believing in faith. In other words, act like you have it right now. Ask yourself, what would you do right now if your prayer had manifested, or did you believe it? If you believe it, you have it. How would you ask it now? Yeah? How would your face look like? You know? You would be smiling, right? Praise God. Like somebody said, swallow the possum. I don't know what that means, but I guess you swallow some little animal or something. Amen? So, I would say if you swallowed a chicken leg or something, that'd be more appropriate for me. Anyway. Prayer for the impossible. Amen. Sometimes, you know, things might seem impossible for us to accomplish in our prayer life. That's why prayer is available. Because Jesus said all things are possible to him when you believe in prayer. Our prayer gives God the right to move into our situations, into our lives against the adversary. Your prayer gives God the right. He just doesn't move in your life just because. You have to ask God. That's the rules he made. Ask, he said. Ask him to come in. God, come on in. Come on in and help me. He doesn't just do it just because it's there, because there's a need. He doesn't move in and just does what he wants to do. You don't just go to someone's house and say, I'm going to change, you know, this furniture around here. I'm going to take this TV home tonight. No, you don't do that. It's not your house. There's rules for that. You can take my TV if you want, if I ask you to, or if you ask me and I give it to you. Take my car if you want. You can't do that. You can only do that if you have permission. That's the rules. Amen? But the devil, if you give him a little wrench, he'll come right in. He said, I'm moving in here tonight. Move over. I'm bringing some bag of chips with me too. Move over. Right? He'll ask you, you want some chips? You say, yeah, okay. Who paid for them? I did. Okay. Amen. That's how the devil is. He'll try to chum up with you for a little while. Then he'll hit you with something. Oh, I got something right over here. Oh, my head hurts. I better see the doctor. Yeah, you better see the doctor. There's something horrible wrong with you. You might have this. You might have that. Then you said, oh, and then you go to walk into the bathroom, and then you're afraid. You got several diseases before you, from your bed to the bathroom. You got several of them, right? Praise God. No, you're not. You know, we don't listen to the devil, right? How many of you listen to the devil? Let me see your face. Amen. Say prayer for the impossible. You better pray for me. Okay. In Acts chapter 12, in verse 5, the Bible says, while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. That's really strong prayer. That's prayer continually. That's when I say strong prayer, that means a consistent prayer. That means somebody standing in faith all the time. Amen? I had a friend, you know, a guy told me one time, he says, you know, I had actually a couple of guys that went to prison. He says, you know, I think you were there one time. This guy says to me, you know, Jesus appeared to me when I killed somebody once, you know. I killed my girlfriend's boyfriend. I don't know how that happened, but anyway. His girlfriend, I guess, was cheating on him. So he killed somebody when he was drinking. So he ends up in jail. So Jesus appears to him in jail. He said, I'm going to get you out of here. And so he waited. He waited and waited and waited. He waited a number of years before he got out of there, but he got out. God took him out. He had to learn some things. Had another guy said the same thing. He's in jail, and the same thing. Jesus, the Lord talked to him about getting him, you know. But it took some time. You know, things take time, right? So especially if you're in jail. See, we see here from reading from chapter 12, 1 to 17, this was an impossible situation that these people found themselves in. That Peter's life was in the balance here. And the church was persistent in prayer, and God sent an angel to that prison to get Peter out of that impossible situation. The angel brought Peter out of prison, and Peter thought he was dreaming or having some kind of vision. But what was happening to them was actual fact. And so he went to where the believers were vigilantly praying for him. He knocked on the door there, and he knocked for a long time, and they heard him and saw him, and they couldn't believe that, you know, this has got to be a ghost, they said. This can't be him. And yet they're praying for him, and they don't even believe their own prayers. The guy shows up at his door, and that they're praying for him. So it was too good to be true. So if you read that story, you'll understand that this is persistent praying. This is people who prayed and would not say no. It was a death and life situation, and they prayed strongly, 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 strongly. So be persistent in your prayer. And the Lord used another illustration for his disciples over here of borrowing food from a friend at midnight. How many of you ever borrowed food from midnight? Don't raise your hand. A friend refused to get up and give him what he requested, even though his friend was knocking at the door. But because his friend was not shy asking for something at a ridiculous hour, he later gives in what he requested. You know, if you show up here at a midnight hour, I'm not sure what desperation this was for some bread. He said, I have a friend here coming from out of town. I don't know, he was coming from Geraldton or something, but he knocking at the door here. But anyway, at midnight, this is last hour of the day. Nobody wants to, you know, how many of you want somebody knocking at your door the last hour of the day? Ken knocks at my door. Pastor Roma, Cindy needs another couple of bread here. Oh, that's not going to, you know, you wouldn't do that, right? He's not going to do that. But I think, some of you would, maybe. So this is your last chance, so to speak, here. Incredible hour to ask for a request. Jesus is teaching about prayer. Sometimes you're at your last hour to ask God for something. There's no other way to do this except just go ahead and ask God. That's what he's teaching about here. Sometimes you come to a brink when there's nothing left except to ask God. There's nothing left to go on. So one we see over here, in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 9, are you liking this scripture? Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as you forgive those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread, and said to him, friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out of his bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night and my family and I are in bed. I can't help you. Go home, go away. I added that. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for his friend's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. The King James says, because of his importunity. That means shame. You're not ashamed. You need to be persistent in your praying time, whatever you're praying about. Some people are not. They say, I wonder why, they give up in their prayer. They say, oh, I guess God's, he's not ready to give me. No, you just quit praying. Keep saying, keep asking God. So I tell you, keep on asking, you will receive. So, there are some times when you're praying, you're having a hard time. This is a time to cast your cares upon the Lord. Amen. You might start worrying because you've been praying a long time. Things aren't working out like you thought they would. Because we all plan how God's going to answer us. We're going to do that. He's going to do that. I'm going to ask him. He's going to do this. And if he doesn't, then I'll ask him this one. We work it out. And we all got God figured out. But he has a plan. Not like yours. But he always answers. Right? So Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Or don't have any kind of worries. But in everything by prayer, what do? You take everything to prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Not with arguing, not with grumbling, but with thanksgiving. When you cast your care upon the Lord, let your request be made known to God. You tell God what you need. 1 Peter 5:7 is exactly the same thing. Casting all your cares upon him. Not on your wife or your boss or anybody else, not on your husband, you cast it on God. Now you can talk about your concern with your wife. There's nothing wrong with that. We talk about things like my wife and I have learned. We don't argue about the things of the spirit, because we've locked heads before. We burned all night like the locking heads. I've got bumps to prove it. Amen. Sore neck, Got tired sleeping on the couch. Amen. The garage. Some of you are going to move out to the garage soon. That's why we have number of beds. We got number of beds in the house. Just number of rooms. I can go downstairs if I want to. We do have a shack too, a shed. And if things get really rough, I could go there. Hey, woodpeckers and all. Come on in, woodpecker. I gave it a scripture earlier, Psalm 62 and 8, to trust in God at all times. That's all times. Not when everything, it's easy to trust God. Money is coming in. Look at our master, our account here. Look at that, RSPs are growing. Look at that, our investment. Oh, wow, a check came in. Honey, hey. Well, we're doing great. Your cars are working fine. People love us. Eh? Ministry is going. Nobody's fighting in church. Everybody's going good. I mean, ministry helps. Just all working great, Everybody's working in harmony, singing in harmony together. Hallelujah. Come on, people. Let's sing it. Sing a song again. Sing it again. Sing it again. Sing it again. Right? So, anyway. Let me just catch on here. I just got caught up in myself. Sorry. God hears the righteous. The scripture says that, here over here, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. I'm going to hurry this up. The eyes of the Lord are watch over those who do right. Or it says here, the correct translation says, on the righteous. And his ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. When you look at the new NLT translation, it says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. There's none of us here can always do right. Nobody can ever. You can try it to do everything perfectly. You can't. But Jesus did it. He is our righteousness, and he gave it to us. And the Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but hears the prayer of the righteous. Somebody said, I wish I was righteous. God would answer my prayers every time. You know, you are righteous, as we mentioned, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that he who made him to be sin for us, that's God made Jesus sin for us, a sin offering, who knew no sin, that's Jesus, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. In Christ, we're righteous. You can go before God and pray, and he will hear your prayer. So you don't have to go take your prayer request to somebody far away down southern United States and ask them to pray for you. You're closer to God up north than you are there. In distance-wise, if you want to look at distance, you don't have to ask the, all your faith friends. You could, but you don't have to. It's better if you don't have to. You can ask somebody to pray for you. If you don't, don't listen to me. You can ask to do that if you want to. But you don't have to. You can follow the scripture and say, God hears me too. I don't have to be Cornelius. I don't have to be the psalmist. I don't have to be Daniel. I can be me. And God will hear you. Right? Are you still here? Or are you gone home? Eh? Are you still? Let me hear you. Eh? Some of you are just, you're getting in, waking up. Oh, well, this is the service. Oh, yeah. Okay, so. We are righteous right now. When are you ever going to be righteous? You go, wait a minute. I'll get to you. Let me help you. Can I help you? You'll never be any more righteous right now, 1,000 years from now. 1,000,000 years from now, you'll never be any more righteous than you are right now. Because Jesus made you righteous right now. Say right now. I'm righteous. That's what the Bible says. No matter if you fell off last week or this week or did something, you're righteous right now. Jesus did it for you. Amen? So we can give you, the Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified or being made right with God, being made right by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can have peace with God because if you're right with God, you don't have to be afraid to go before God. God made you acceptable to him. You are acceptable in him. And this is one of my best courses that I ever took as a Christian was righteousness. When Pastor Kevin taught us righteousness, it set me free. I was free. Hallelujah. Amen? Oh, man, that's wonderful to get free in the Word of God. And you can find a number of scriptures like that. And lastly, as we close, James 5:16-18. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, we look at that scripture and we said, man, I wish I was righteous. I just finished talking to you about righteousness. I remember thinking about that before. I had no idea about anything I just talked about right now. But now I know better. And I know that my prayers are powerful and effective. When I pray, I know sometimes when I pray for someone, the power comes immediately. I feel the power. They feel the power. I can ask God to come in my prayer closet and I can just sense his presence in a moment of time. And, I don't need that per se. And there's sometimes I might need it more, but I have faith that he said he'll always be with me. And he'll always answer me. And he's doing something for me right now, praise God. Amen? He's doing something for you right now. Amen. He sees you. He heard your prayer. Did I speak loud enough? So I'm just going to preach a little bit more easier for you next time. So he says here, let's close. Elijah was a man subject to passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. It might not rain. And it rained on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. Heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth fruit. We want fruitful prayer. Amen. In conclusion, God hears us when we pray. He will always answer us when we base our prayer on the Word, not on how we feel or what we think or what anybody else comments on. I don't care about anybody's comments. I want to know if it's in the Word. Amen? You can say what you want on Facebook. I want to know if it's in the Word of God. Amen? We are righteous right now. We are. We're not going to be one day. We are right now. Right now. And our prayers are effective. And I will stay persistent in my prayer. I say, Father, I'm here again. I'm praying for Faith City Church. I'm praying for every member. I pray for every one of them. I pray for them every day. Who are those people? They're called Faith City Church people. Families. Children. I pray for the grandpas and grandpas who live in their house. Their uncles and aunts who come by who live in there. I pray for every one of them in the name of Jesus. That they prosper and have success and be protected from the devil. And that their prayers be answered. And that they'll prosper and have money. Amen. And that be strong and they finish their vision with strong persistence. Amen. They'll stay in Jesus' name. And all my partners and friends, I pray the same thing for them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I felt like I did something today. Everybody stand up. Praise God.